Hey there. Our productions are funded directly by our listeners. Go to ErieCanalTheater.com to learn how to support our creative weirdness. Thanks.
The Erie Canal Theater presents a Halloween special, Quiet Please, which is written by Willis Cooper and features Mike McGettigan and Michael Philip Thomas. Quiet Please for tonight is called The Thing on the Forble Board.
Me? I'm a roughneck. Well, I was a roughneck. I mean, 20 years ago, a little too old, too slow now. Besides, I got a dollar now. Don't have to be a roughneck, you see. Married, got a nice home. Yeah, have to meet my wife. Hey, Mike! Now, her name's Maxine, but she likes to be called Mike. Mike! Well, I guess she's busy out in the kitchen someplace. Besides, she doesn't hear very well. Shame, too. Oh, she's so pretty and everything. Well, you'll meet her. Sit down. I was saying, I was a roughneck. Well, no, that doesn't mean exactly what you think it means. A roughneck is an oil field worker, specifically a guy on a drilling crew. Call them roughnecks, like you call a section hand on a railroad, a gang dancer, a garage hand, a grease monkey. At the same time, you work around a drilling crew for a while, you're going to be a roughneck in every sense of the word, boy. Yeah, the derrick floor or forble board's no place for a guy with a bow tie, because when you have to fool around with drilling holes that go farther down in the ground than it is from the top of Pike's Peak down to sea level, sure they do. Time I was a roughneck, we got this one well down 7,313 feet. That was a record. But last May, Pure Oil bought one out in the Natrona Valley in Wyoming at 14,309 feet. That, friend, is almost 3 miles. Quite a hole, that, huh? Well, sure, I don't think there's an oil man in the world that doesn't wonder one time or another what's down there besides rock and oil and gas. Oil that's made out of trees that died 20 million years ago. Oil that's made out of dinosaur bones. Oil that's maybe made out of the flesh and blood of men. Maybe that beat each other to death with a stone axe. Ate saber-toothed tiger for lunch. Yeah, you get to wondering. You look at the cores that come up from the way down there, and sometimes there's these little shells, trilobites mostly. It was alive when Manhattan Island, where New York is, was under half a mile of ice. We found something once. Me and Billy Grumwell. And something found us. Yeah, I'll tell you about it. Clear down to around 5,400 feet. We'd set casing that began to get water, so we had to stop drilling and cement off. Well, you see, when water begins to seep in the hole, you pull your drill pipe. Then you let a cementing shoe down inside the casing. You plug up the bottom of the hole, casing and all, with quick hardening, waterproof cement. Then, when it's hard, you drill through the cement and go on down the cement outside the casing at the bottom and keeps the water out. Well, we had the drill pipe all pulled and racked, and the cement was set, see? So we were shut down, waiting for it to harden. We'd been coring just before it. Oh, well, you see, a core drill is hollow, and then as the bit digs down, it stuffs the drillings up inside. So when you pull it out, you got a sample of the kind of stuff you're going through. And a geologist can tell you a lot from that. So anyway. There's nobody around the rig except me that night. The rest of the crew's gone into town. And I was toasting some pork chops over a porch for myself when I heard a car pulling up. Look out, it's Billy Grunwald, the geologist. And I give him a hello.
Hi, Billy! Come on! Have a pork chop!
All right, Porky! Where is everybody?
Oh, they all went into town.
I'm the whole crew.
I had 3 blowouts between here and Oxnard.
Yeah, I was wondering where you was. Ted said you'd be here in about 3.
Yeah, I would have been, except for my tough luck. Oh, I'm dead.
Hungry?
Starved.
I hear. I got 6 No, seven pork chops and bread and some coffee, kind of.
12. Hey, I got a bottle in the car.
Hey, we're gonna have a banquet.
Hey, where's that core? That's what I came up here to look at.
Back there on the bench. Look at that after supper.
Hey.
What?
Didn't you say we was all alone here?
Uh-huh.
I thought I heard somebody talking.
I don't see anybody. Hey, keep an eye on that pork chop. You won't have any supper.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Here, let me put the coffee on. Like so.
When'd you finish cementing?
All this morning. Last tower only made about 10 feet a hole, so Ted shut down before we get flooded out of house and home.
Funny about that water.
How?
Oughtn't be any at that level, according to my figure.
Well, there is.
Is it salt?
Sure, right out of the bottom of the ocean.
That's funny. Well, maybe I'll be able to tell something from the core. Yeah, I hope so. Last core I looked at, I'd have sworn we was getting into shale.
Yeah, I ain't seen none yet from the cuttings.
It's funny.
Well, here, your pork chop's done. Hey, take some bread.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, man.
Good, huh?
Well,
put on another. I had two already for you, huh?
Yeah, much obliged. Yeah, you know, you never can tell what's down there. You get it all mapped and plotted out, all the strata, all... And all you know is what comes out of the hole.
Yeah. You know, I like to go down there sometime if I was little enough.
Never get you down a hole.
Well, you'd fit. You're skinny.
I'll stay up here and look at the cores, bud. Where is that one?
Oh, behind you, over there.
Oh, well, I'll have a look at it.
Why don't you wait till you finish your supper?
I'm just gonna look at it. Put on another pork chop for me.
Okay.
Wow, I wish those screech owls would keep...
What's the matter?
Hey, wait a minute. Porky.
Well, what?
Listen.
What's eating you?
You know, I'd have sworn there's somebody up there on that forble board.
Ah, you're crazy. There's nobody up there.
Standing against those stands of drill pipe.
They're just racked crooked. One of them slipped. Come back and eat your pork chop.
Yeah, I guess so.
What are you so jittery about, Billy? Come on, eat your sandwich. Here.
Yeah, well, thanks, Porky. I don't know, I'm just naturally that way, I guess. I'm always scared of the dark. Doggone it, I hate to be a baby, but I just can't help it.
Scared of the dark. Honest?
Stupid, ain't it?
Oh, I don't know. Everybody's scared of something. Me? Spiders scare the tar out of me. Black spiders. Black widows. Yo, I know how you feel, Billy.
There another light over there?
Yeah, here.
Ah, that's better. Hey, listen. Porky, go out to the car and look in the left-hand door pocket and bring back the bottle, will you? That's what I need.
Okay, kid. Okay. So I picked up a flashlight. Turned around and went outside. I found the car and got the bottle. And the floor of the derrick was all lit up when I saw a beam of light suddenly flash up toward the forble board. And I laughed. Billy Grunwald and his ideas. Sure, I looked up. There wasn't a damn thing up there. Except the drill pipe racked against the fingerboard. And, this forble board? Well, you've seen oil derricks or pictures of them. You know that little platform that runs around the outside of the derrick about halfway up? That's the forble board. Well, you see, the drill pipe comes in lengths, and you handle them with several lengths screwed together as to save time getting them in and out of the hole. 2 lengths is a double, 3 is a treble, 4 is a forble. And when you pull the pipe, you hoist it up inside the derrick with a traveling block, which moves up and down from the crown block at the top of the derrick. Then, when a forble of pipe is pulled out, it's held in the rotary table, and you break the joint with tongs like a great big Stilson wrench, you see. Snub a cable that's fastened to the handle over the cat head on the drawworks, and that breaks the joint. Then you hold the tongs on the pipe, give the rotary table a few turns to unscrew it, you heist away with a traveling block, and you swing it over against the fingerboard, lean it up against the derrick. The guy up on the forble board takes off the traveling block, and you do it all over again till you got all the pipe out. You see? Well, There wasn't anybody up on the foreboard board, except a screech owl, and it flew away, so Billy turned his light off, and I come on inside. And just as I come up the steps, he let out a yell.
Huh? Ah!
What's the matter? What's the matter, Billy?
Hey, come here! Look here!
Well, what's it?
Look, Porky!
Where did you find that?
Now listen, Porky, I give you my word. That was embedded in the core.
Oh, why? It couldn't
I tell you,
be.
It was. Look where I dug it out. Do you know what? That rock there comes from a mile underground, and it's been a mile underground for a million years. Man, look at this.
And I did look. And what he was holding was a gold ring. And it was all carved and filigree, just like jewelry. And there wasn't any kidding about it. It was real. Now. Wait a minute. Hang on. I ain't done. All right? I poked at the core of rock that looked like a kind of a petrified salami or something. And then it was my turn to pretty near jump out of my pants because right alongside the place where Billy dug out the ring, there was a mud-covered but very unmistakable finger. And I picked it up, and it was cold, and it was heavy, and it was solid rock. At least it felt like solid rock. And I looked at Billy. Billy looked at me. He started to rub the mud off this here stone finger. And he rubbed it. And it begun to disappear. No, he could still feel it, he said. But when the mud was gone, neither one of us could see it. And he dropped it to the derrick floor and it went clunk. And we couldn't find it any place. So you know what we done? Well, we took that bottle and we took it and we finished it, Billy and me. We finished it in one slug apiece, and it was a full pint of bathtub gin that tasted like so much well water to me. And then we sat down on the derrick floor and we looked at each other. We didn't say a word. My eyes, they got heavier and heavier. And the last thing I remember was I heard some kind of noise that seemed to be coming out from, well, on the floorboard, 80 feet above us. And I shut my eyes a minute. I guess I went to sleep. And I had awful dreams. Black widow spiders crawling all over me with gold rings on their legs. Things I could hear, but I couldn't see up on the floorboard. Billy Grunwald climbing up the ladder outside the derrick and the moonlight faces looking at me, and I couldn't figure out who they were. And then I was waked up by a horrible scream, a crash alongside me that shook the whole derrick. And I opened my eyes to see Billy Grunwald lying on the floor 2 feet away with a broken neck. And his left hand, well, he put the gold ring on his little finger of his left hand, and the way his arms were spread out, his left little finger and the ring were gone. Well, friend, I got out of there. I run down to where Billy had left his car, and I got in and I stepped on the starter, and then I couldn't get it to go. And I remembered after I pretty near run down the battery that Billy had taken a key, I wasn't going up there to go through a dead man's clothes to get it. So I sat there in the car, shivered all by myself till daylight. And then Ted and the crew came. Afterwards, a state cop and everybody in the world was asking me questions.
Did you and Billy have a fight, Porky?
I told you we didn't, Ted.
But you had been drinking.
We only had that one little pint, Ted.
What was he doing up there on the foible board?
Did you threaten him? And did he run up there to get away from you?
Listen, cop, don't be a chump. Billy Grunwald and I were good friends.
Then why'd you push him off the foreboard board?
I didn't, I tell you. I wasn't up there.
Well, what did he go up there for?
I don't know. I was asleep.
How do you know he was up there?
I didn't say he was. You said so. Besides, how would he break his neck if he didn't fall from way up there?
Well, look, officer, I think it was just another accident. I mean, I haven't got anything on Porky, and personally, I don't believe he did it.
Well, it's mighty mysterious.
So it is, but we got work to do. Now, how about it? The cement's hard down there, and I want to start drilling again, and I'm short-handed. Well, you let Porky stay here till I run in my pipe again, and, well, then you can take him and ask him questions till you're blue in the face.
Oh, well, okay.
Let's get rolling. You got steel up, Happy.
I'm all set.
All right. Porky, you go up on the foible board.
What? Not me, Ted.
Ah, don't be such a boob. There's nobody up there to shove you overboard. Hey, you can put a safety line around you if you want to. And besides, you're getting paid to do what you're told. I've lost too much time already. Come on, get going.
So, okay. I go up on the foible board. And you can bet I took a good gander around before I did anything else. No, I couldn't see a thing. So I signaled to the driller to let down the traveling block, and he did. Came sailing down from up above. I was just reaching for it to pick up the first foible of drill pipe, gave a big jerk, and the cable broke. And dropped and nearly pulled me off the foible board. And it landed right on top of Ted. And if you have any idea what a guy looks like after 2 tons of metal land on him from 80 feet up, you just keep your ideas to yourself. Well, that was enough. 2 accidents in a row, the whole crew quit. They wasn't going to wait for a third, and it was Ted's money that was paying off. Well, there wasn't any more. And, as far as I know, the abandoned derrick is still there. And that was 20 years ago. Oh, I forgot to tell you something. That traveling block was right in front of my face when it broke loose. It was hanging by a steel cable, 3/4-inch steel cable. And I saw that cable break before my eyes. Looked just like a piece of string when you snap it between your fingers. I could almost see the fingers. You know what? There was something up there on the foible board with me. So a couple of days later, I came back. And I don't know if there's anything in the world as desolate, as dismal, as a dead-looking as an abandoned oil rig. Oh, there it stands, like a skeleton off a deserted side road and the bare yellow hills surrounding it. And it's the deadest thing you ever saw. I sat in my car for a long time looking at it. Everything was just the way we left it. I looked in at the floor. The smashed traveling block was there alongside the rotary table. A little mutter of steam from the boiler. That was all. Then, I heard it tinkle or something that hit the ground alongside me, and I looked around. There wasn't a soul in sight. But at my feet was the gold ring that Billy Grunwald and I had found in the core of rock that came from a mile underground and 1 million years ago in time. And I heard a little sound. The sound of a kid crying. There wasn't any kid up there. But I heard it again. And it came from above my head. And I took out my revolver. I loaded it carefully. Started up the ladder to the foible board. Well, there wasn't anything up there, nothing I could see. There was a voice crying. The voice of a little kid. And there was a movement behind the rack of drill pipes. And I saw the pipe move and I yelled, "Come out of there! Whoever you are, come out or I'll start shooting." Then the standard pipes shivered. And I thought, what can it be that can handle a heavy pipe like jack straws? Then there was a crash. The whole standard pipe fell over and I got out of the way in time. And I was alone on the foible board with the thing, but I couldn't see it. I felt the platform tremble under my feet as something moved towards me. I fired 2 or 3 shots, and nothing happened. I started backwards. I knew it was following me because I could hear it meowing like a cat. My feet tripped over something I saw as a big can of red lead that somebody left up there. Without thinking, I picked it up, I threw it at the sound, and it splashed. There it was. And I wish...
I wish the face of a little girl, frightened, crying with hunger and terror, hands like a human being, and a finger missing from the left hand, and a body, well, I'll tell you about that. I told you, I know I'm scared of spiders, but I knew where it came from. It come from the bowels of the earth, come up riding on the drill pipe as we yanked it out of the well, come to an alien world, and was lost. It stood there, dripping with red paint, blood red from head to foot like some horrible dream. And it put its hand on my arm. Its hand was stone. Living. Moving stone. And it looked into my eyes and it mewed. Like a lost kitten. 20 years ago, I discovered many things about it. What it used for food. That it was deaf. That it was invisible and couldn't see people when it was invisible. And that if you sprayed it with mud or paint or grease paint, makeup, then it could see people. And believe me, I didn't want to see its body. I can see that in my nightmares, but its face, I can't help wanting to see that pathetic little girl face. I'm afraid maybe I've fallen. Oh, but it's very beautiful. And when it's well made up, it's... But making it up, rubber and grease paint on a stone face, it looks at you and smiles and makes sounds like a lost kitten. Yet, I can disguise the body in long dresses, and she can't hear very well when she's hungry. And I have to stay out of her way. I found out what she likes to eat, remember? No, sit still. Sit still, do! Sit still, or I'll have to shoot you! I want you to meet my wife. Or rather, my wife wants to meet you. Mike! Hey, Mike! There she is. Come on in, dear.
The title of tonight's Quiet Please story is The Thing on the Forble Board. It was written by Wyland Cooper and featured Mike McGettigan and Michael Philip Thomas. Recording and editing by Clark Eagling. Sound design by Jeff Jimison. Bob Harrington and Clark Eagling created original music. Our Patreon supporters are Tom Webb and Dr. Boyfriend. This program was heard in the United States through the facilities of WFMU and is a presentation of the Erie Canal Theater, recorded in Detroit, Michigan. And so, until next week at this time, I am quietly yours, Joseph C. Krause.